From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. BP officials are ready to try a smaller containment device to stop the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. It's a dome executives are calling a top hat. But NPR's Kathy Lohr reports oil has come ashore in at least two spots in Louisiana and on a beach in Alabama.
Workers have deployed more than 1.5 million feet of boom in the largest oil spill response on record. But with more than 200,000 gallons of crude spilling into the Gulf every day, oil has still been found in the Breton National Wildlife Refuge and on islands near the mouth of the Mississippi River. BP spokesman Darren Bodo.
There's more in some places than there are others. And the shoreline people tell me that, you know, it's easily recoverable.
Oil recovery teams are on some islands picking up the gooey globs. Bodo says crews continue to skim oil off the surface and have collected more than 400,000 gallons of an oil-water mixture. Officials also confirmed 4-inch tar balls that washed ashore in Alabama over the weekend came from the Deepwater Horizon spill. Kathy Lohr, NPR News, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana.
Michigan Democratic Congressman Bart Stupak, who chairs the House subcommittee holding hearings on the spill, tells CBS TV that he wants to know why BP and companies working with it got drilling permits for the Gulf. Stupak says he also wants to know why the Federal Mining and Minerals Service did not keep a closer eye on the operation.
Once you allow someone to drill in a very environmentally sensitive areas, you must make sure, and in this case, it's the federal government's role, that they are doing it properly to protect our environment.
Stupak also tells CBS that despite BP's efforts to put a cap on the leaking well, he does not think the company has a solid plan to stop the leak. A Los Angeles judge says the school district there cannot lay off any more teachers at three inner-city middle schools. The schools have already lost roughly half of their teachers because of a budget shortfall. NPR's Ina Jaffe has details on the latest turns in the controversy.
The school district has followed a state law that says seniority should be used to determine which teachers get laid off. But Superior Court Judge William Heiberger ruled that resulted in an unconstitutional denial of educational opportunity for the students at the three middle schools. Because the teachers there were less experienced, up to 60% of them received layoff notices last year. In the district as a whole, about 18% of teachers received layoff notices. Many classes were taught by an ever-changing array of substitutes, up to 10 in a single semester. And until this injunction, it looked like the schools would be hard hit again next year. Heiberger wrote that the law doesn't require the district to base layoffs on seniority if that will violate students' fundamental right to equal educational opportunity. Ina Jaffe, NPR News.
Stocks are up in Europe on some positive earnings reports. This is NPR News. A company that tracks foreclosure activities says new home foreclosure filings are down for April, but RealtyTrack's Rick Sharga says a one-month change does not necessarily indicate a trend. And he says the foreclosure crisis has a new characteristic.
The surprise is that we're seeing foreclosure activity increase in places that have not been foreclosure hotspots, driven by unemployment, places like Idaho and Illinois and Utah. So the foreclosure problem is still concentrated, but it is spreading a bit.
Sharga says despite April's lower number of new notices, banks foreclosed on a record number of homes, 92,000 last month. Today marks the 25th anniversary of the day Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on an occupied row house in a standoff with a radical group called MOVE. From member station WHYY in Philadelphia, Elizabeth Fiedler reviews the events of that tense day.
The tension had been building for months when police dropped a bomb on the West Philadelphia row house. An officer had been killed a few years earlier in a fatal confrontation with MOVE, and neighbors complained about the cult-like group who practiced a back-to-nature lifestyle and regularly brandished weapons. The day before the bombing, police told neighbors of the MOVE house to pack a bag and leave. They expected to come home soon. Police tried to drive the MOVE members out with tear gas, leading to a gunfight. Then, just before 5:30 p.m., police dropped explosives onto the radical group's row house. The bomb caused a fire that spread through the house, eventually engulfing the entire block. Five children and six adults in the bombed-out house died. For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Fiedler in Philadelphia.
And I'm Paul Brown. This is NPR News from Washington.